time now to introduce our guests. The power of picture books to transport, to delight, and often as a way to help adults discuss serious ideas with children. All these aspects and more are being covered in a new international and free online course being created by online learning expert and former primary school teacher Dr. Diana Forbes and Dr. Nicola Daly from the University of Waikato. Both believe that picture books are underestimated. To find out more, they join me now. Kia ora, welcome both.
Kia ora, Len.
Nicola, I think reading the information, you believe that people tend to underestimate picture books and their power. Talk me through your argument there.
Well, I think, as evidenced by all the wonderful texts you've been getting in, picture books stay with people for a long time. Because they're associated with children and children have little power in society, often they're kind of underestimated as some kind of cutesy little thing that you enjoy and together. And there's no doubt about it, they can be cute and you can enjoy them and they can be, and they leave you with wonderful memories, but they also have some very powerful messages that are, they often kind of reflect ideas in society, cultural aspects of society that we pass on.
Diana, I'll bring you in here. You're working in education, of course. What did you find out in your time as a primary school teacher about the role, the contribution of picture books to children's learning?
Oh, goodness, there's so much I could say there, but I'd say two significant things I found out were that picture books are a wonderful way of forming a relationship and sustaining a relationship with those we share them with. So it's not just about the book, it's about sitting down with a child or a group of children or even a group of adults sometimes for us. Sitting down and enjoying that book and laughing together and sharing the experiences that resonate as a result of reading the book. And secondly, I would say that a picture book cannot just be judged by its own form, it's the book and the cover sort of cliche there. There is so much more that you can see when you look more deeply into a picture book. And Nicola has taught me a great deal working with her about language hierarchies in picture books and about the analysis of picture book imagery, for instance. You can look so closely and find so much hidden depth in a picture book.
I was thinking too, Nicola, that I'm just thinking after the Christchurch earthquakes, there were some picture books that came out not so long afterwards, you know, in an effort to try and help children understand what had happened. And I guess as a way also of getting the adults in their lives and the children talking about that. So, I mean, that's one of the things you were saying, wasn't it, that there can be messages or themes, yes, or issues or ideas contained within, yes, these beautiful books.
Yes, and I'm thinking immediately of Quakey Cat that came out very quickly, and I think there was a real effort to get it out really quickly because people do understand that books provide, as Diane's already said, a real moment for sitting down and thinking together and sharing ideas together and working through feelings in that particular case. So they're very powerful for just creating that moment and a chance to think about ideas and talk about things.
Is there a place, Diane, for simple, pure, nonsensical fun in a picture book too?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And enjoying the patterns of language, enjoying the humour, and just taking that time to connect with the picture book, absolutely. A lot of people are very fond of picture books that have either no language at all, in terms of written words, that is, and picture books that have single words or just a short rhyme. And the very, very popular Dame Linley Dodd and the Harry McCleary series with the simple ABAB rhyme is something that's very favourite, a huge favourite to people all over the world.
Well, see, I reckon perhaps the hardest part of this for the two of you have been choosing which picture books to include and which to leave out, because we're so blessed. And I was reflecting, you know, when I was growing up, and we're talking about the 60s there, I'm pretty sure that most of the picture books that I was read would have been from overseas. So what a joy to have so many brilliant books, you know, well before Harry McCleary. And I guess you would have been in real trouble if Harry McCleary wasn't in the course. But what are some of the other books you'll be featuring?
We're featuring, we've tried to feature some New Zealand and some international books. We've got a copy of Patricia Grace's The Trolley that we share at one point, and also from the House of Anansi Press in Canada, Maurice Micklewhite and The Tangerine Dress, which is about kind of gender identity, about a little boy who likes to wear a tangerine dress and he gets teased for it, but in the end he decides no, he likes to wear this dress and that's how it is, and he tells his classmates that.
Are you looking at? I mean, Diane, you mentioned before that, you know, some of the picture books don't need text, but generally speaking, it's pictures and text hand in hand. Do you think both have to be on point to work? I mean, I don't know if great pictures can save a story that's not great or not written well, or vice versa.
Well, this is something that's definitely more in Nicola's realm of expertise. However, I would say that through the course, I learned a lot more about how the pictures and the text work together in terms of them being either complementary or indeed counterpoint. And that is in week two of the course. So there's just so much complexity there. But in terms of, just to return to your question about how we chose the picture books, firstly, we had an awful lot of fun doing so. Secondly, we each introduce ourselves on the first video in the course, where we each take just one favourite picture book, but no spoilers there, that's in week one of the course. And then we invite throughout the course participants to bring their own picture books, and we've got people in there from about 68 countries at the moment, so the incredible richness and diversity of books from around the world is really one of the great strengths of the course so far, in my opinion.
I agree. It's been really interesting. Just like the wealth of texts you've been receiving, Lynn, reading all the different books that people are sharing has been wonderful.
Well, here you go. Here's the hard question then. So what are your own personal favourite picture books of all time? And you can think about that. And I'll say on the record that mine is Kiss Kiss Yuck Yuck by Cole Muegger.
Oh, that is a great one.
Well, I'm an aunt and a great aunt many times over, and I've just had such fun reading that book to the nieces and nephews and their offspring, because it's just hilarious and it says something to me. It's a story about a travelling aunt who the kids hate getting sloppy kisses from, and I've just had so much fun with that. It's a very interactive book for me. So, Nicola, what about you?
Humour is a really important part of really great, memorable children's books. Nearly every year I have a new favourite, and Maurice Micklewhite, as I mentioned before, is one of my favourites. But I'd have to say, probably if I was pushed, Where the Wild Things Are, even though it's got a kind of a humorous rumpus in the middle. But I just think that the mix of text and images is about as good as it gets in that. And that was published in 1965, I think, first. So it was an incredibly sophisticated picture book at that time to come out, and one that remains with me, that I've shared many times.
You like this text. The listener says, Maurice Sendak had the wildest imagination and really drew you into his worlds. This listener says, my kids didn't want me to read Where the Wild Things Were when they were very little, as I had a bit too much fun with the gnashing of teeth and the rolling of eyes and the terrible roars. And that is, that goes back to what you were saying before, doesn't it, about the interaction?
Yes, it does, actually, and that makes me think of Lindley Dodd's Harry McCleary as well, when we meet Scarface Claw. There are some children who are very frightened by that, because adults have so much fun making it very, very dramatic. And actually, Lindley Dodd shares a really lovely vignette, as I have an interview with her in week two of the course, and she shares a really lovely vignette about that particular aspect of Harry McCleary.
I've got to say, the other one, along with Where the Wild Things Are, is Margaret Mahe's Lion in the Meadow. And I think this text actually sums it up pretty well. It says, because of the portrayal of children's ability to believe in something or see something outside of their normal humdrum life, and for the enigmatic ending, so not squashing the child's imagination or sense of being in charge of the story. And I think that's quite quite a lovely summation of that. Would you agree?
Yes, I agree. I agree. Diane, what's your favourite?
Well, my favourite, as you well know, Nicola, features in week four of the course quite prominently, and it is The Trolley by Patricia Grace. I have a great deal of difficulty reading it or even talking about it without tearing up. I think it's a powerful and a beautiful book by, an Aotearoa New Zealand author.
Yes, and illustrated beautifully by Kerry Gemmell, really. There, as we know with picture books, it's always the package, isn't it?
It does. Yeah, very much so.
Honestly, the avalanche that you've started here, we've got Dylan saying, my favourite is The Bunyip of Berkeley's Creek, 1970s-ish and out of print, but I look in secondhand stores for it still.
Yes,
oh, my
yes.
Gosh, what am I?
I know.
Is that classic line for kids, beautiful art and outstanding lyrics. And close second is A Giant Jam Sandwich, the second vote for that one. And here's another one, Jumping Mouse by Brian Patton, says this listener, published in the 1970s and very precious to my late father. It's a North American Indian story. New, more recent interpretations of the story definitely don't have the same charm. And another one from Nick, Mrs. Armitage on Wheels by Quentin Blake. You're just going to have to extend the course for years to have a different one every week.
It's the great thing is it's a 4-week course, and once you start it, you get a reminder every week to join into the next week. But for the first 250 days, so it's kind of for quite a bit longer because it only started 3 weeks ago, you can enroll anytime. So yes, I mean, we could make it so many more weeks if we wanted, but we're just seeing how the 4-week package goes at this stage.
Mm. But we do already have new ideas. The participants so far in the course have already given us so many good ideas of other things that they'd love to see included. And we're really seriously considering adding a lot of those ideas.
Well, we can send you dozens and dozens of suggestions too. Thank you so much, Dr. Nicola Daly and Dr. Diane Forbes. And if you're interested in the course and the power of picture books, the details are on our webpage.